podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
I invite you to take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 18 through 38 of John 13. Now, if you have ever been hurt by another person, intentionally or unintentionally, our scripture reading this morning is for you. If you have ever hurt another person, a friend, intentionally or unintentionally, this scripture reading is for you. And let's face it, if you live on planet Earth and you know one other person, you have hurt someone and you have been hurt by someone. We're all like cheap balloons bouncing off sharp stucco walls, if you know what I mean. It's just a very sensitive situation here on planet Earth. We hurt each other all the time. This is life. And Jesus was not immune to being hurt. And so if you are in the room this morning, our scripture reading is for you. John chapter 13, starting with verse 18. I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out. And it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will disown me three times."
Why did it have to to be a friend who chose to betray the Lord? And why did he use a kiss to show them that's not what a kiss is for?
Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain. And only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much pain.
Why did there have to be a thorny crown pressed upon his head? It should have been a royal one made of jewels and gold instead.
It had to be a crown of thorns, for in this life we live, for all who would seek to love a thorn is all the world has to give.
And why did there have to be a heavy cross he was made to bear? And why did they nail his feet and hands? His love would have held him there.
It was a cross, for on a cross a thief was supposed to pay. Jesus had come into the world to steal every heart away.
Yes,
Jesus had come into the world to steal every heart away.
Line around the table, enjoying the Passover meal, spending their precious waning moments with the Master. He washes their feet. He tells them that they're supposed to wash each other's feet. He eats the meal with them, and he shares the meaning of the bread and the cup. But there's something else on his mind. His heart is broken. He loves these men. He is the one who chose these men. But he knows them also. He knows them all too well. And on his left is Judas. And across the table from him is Peter. And he knows their hearts. He knows their futures. And he loves them deeply. In spite of the pain that they will cause him, he loves them. And then sandwiched in this passage between betrayal and denial is one of the most powerful teachings that ever came from our Lord, verses 34 and 35. Where he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's a new command. You know, every high school student has probably heard these words before. This will be on the test. This will be on the test. That's your cue to pull out a pen and paper, right? That's your cue to pull out your highlighter or your laptop or your iPad or hit the record button on your cell phone. I don't know, however it is that you take notes these days. That's your cue. This is the moment to stop daydreaming about what's going to happen in the weekend. This is the moment where you stop thinking about that beautiful girl who's sitting on the other side of the classroom. This is the time for you to pay attention. This will be on the test. Can you get any clearer than that? Jesus didn't use those words with his disciples, but he could have. This will be on the test. How will people know that you are my disciples? How will people know that you are Christian? How will people know that you are the ones who follow me? How will people know that you are the people who are called by my name. How will they know that? By your education? By how smart you've become? By your wit and your wisdom? By your courage? No. By your love. By your love. And not just any kind of love. People will know that you belong to me when you love one another as I have loved you. Peter changes the subject. He says, "Where are you going, Lord?" He's more interested in where Jesus is going than what Jesus is telling them to remember. Where are you going, Lord? Maybe Peter should have asked the question, how have you loved? Look, if you want us to love one another as you loved us, how do we do it? And Jesus would answer that question. But even in this context, he answers it. Even in this passage of Scripture, he answers it. First, how does Jesus love us? Jesus loves even when betrayed. Jesus loves even when betrayed. See, Judas was chosen by Jesus to be one of his closest followers. Judas was sitting at the table in a position of honor at the side of Jesus where they could dip bread together in wine and bitter herbs. Judas was good at his hypocrisy. None of the other disciples even suspected it was him. I think they were too worried that maybe they were the ones who were going to betray Jesus. Could it be me? They didn't suspect Judas even after Jesus shared the bread with him. Even after Jesus told them what he was going to do. They still didn't suspect Judas. Even after Judas got up and left, they thought, well, he's a treasurer. He's just going out to buy some stuff. They assigned good motives to Judas. It couldn't be him. Only Jesus knew that this man, one of his closest friends in this world, was about to become an instrument of Satan. He was about to go out into the night and to betray Jesus. He was about to turn him over to the authorities to kiss him. And that story comes later in the Gospel of John, but for now, in this passage, Jesus knows. And Jesus, verse 21, is troubled. In spirit, he's troubled. And that word for troubled is the same word that was used by the paralytic at the pool. Right? When he was sitting by the side of the pool, the water would get stirred up. And he was frustrated that he couldn't get into the water when it was stirred up. The word for stirred up is troubled, like a bridge over troubled water. And then later in Jesus' life, when he goes to the funeral of his friend Lazarus, Scripture tells us that he was troubled, the same word. And so here he is in the upper room with his disciples. He's contemplating the fact that one of his closest friends is about to betray him, and he is troubled in spirit. The water has gone from smooth and tranquil, peaceful, to choppy. And this is the same word used by John in many occasions to demonstrate the emotions that Jesus was feeling. The betrayal of Judas was going to be a slap across the face from a friend from out of the blue, except in the form of a kiss. And only a friend can get that close to hurt that deep. The song we just heard is one of my favorite Christian songs ever written, so I decided to share it with you this morning, written by Michael Card. Sung in that context by Michael Card and Sarah Groves and Phil Kagi on the guitar. And the words of Michael Card express this beautifully. He says, "Why did it have to be a friend who chose to betray the Lord? Why did he use a kiss to show them? That's not what a kiss is for. Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain. And only a friend comes close enough to ever cause so much pain." Judas was concerned with only one person, Judas. He was concerned with himself. He saw all of the miracles of Jesus. He heard Jesus teach. He had become a trusted friend of all of the disciples, one of the crew, the one who held the money bag. And then suddenly he saw an opportunity for a payday. It was obvious that Jesus was going to be arrested soon. And maybe Judas thought when he first met Jesus that he had found some great opportunity. He had stumbled at the front end of something that was going to get really big, that he was going to be one of the best friends of the Messiah, and he was just going to rake it in. But it became more and more obvious to him as this went along that it wasn't going to end that way. And so he found an opportunity to cash in. It was all about self-promotion. It was never really about faith. He followed Jesus because he loved himself, not because he loved Jesus. And so he walked out into the night, and he fulfilled the words of David, who dealt with a betrayer of his own. Verse 18, Jesus quotes that scripture, "He who shared my bread has turned against me." Literally speaking, he who shared my bread has turned up the back of his heel toward me. That's what we do when we walk away. That's what Judas did that night. Jesus loved Judas, even when he was betrayed. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Jesus would die on the cross for people like Judas. The life of Judas would end in tragedy. But Jesus never stopped loving. And at the other end of this command to love one another as I have loved you, Jesus demonstrates another facet of his love. Not only does he love when he's betrayed, but Jesus loves even when denied. See, Peter is no Judas. We know that. Peter's the guy who carries a sword, right? Peter's the guy who loudly professes his belief in the lordship of Jesus. Peter's the guy who briefly walks on water. Peter is no Judas. But Peter has the capacity to hurt Jesus just as deeply. Look at the bravado of Peter, the pride, the courage in the upper room. Here in chapter 13, verse 36. He asks Jesus, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus says, "Well, where I'm going you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." We know, in hindsight, as we read this passage, that he's saying, "I'm going to heaven to be with the Father, and you can follow me later." But Peter says, "Lord, why can't I follow now? I want to follow you now. And if I have to, I will lay down my life for you." That is bravado and courage. He's able to say that in the upper room, but just moments later, after the arrest of Jesus, when things start to get real and there's real suffering involved, things change. Here in the upper room, it's like, "Bring it, Pharisees. I'll take you all on myself. Let's do this. Go ahead, make my Passover." And he's packing a sword and he's ready to take on the world in order to protect Jesus. But all of that bravado was cover for a scared little man. In his own strength, Peter will disown Jesus three times. And Jesus predicts it will be so. Before the rooster crows, Peter will deny Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. And John tells us that story a little bit later. But for now, see the love of Jesus. Peter, you have so much to learn, so much to learn. You will deny me three times. And the heart of Jesus is troubled. It's troubled by a close friend who is going to betray him and another who is going to deny him and disown him. Peter says, "I will lay down my life for you, Jesus." But in the end, he will lie to protect himself. Judas was out for self-promotion. Peter was out for self-preservation. So what's the difference between Judas and Peter? You know, they're alike in so many ways if you think about it. They're both chosen by Jesus. They are both loved by Jesus. Both followed Jesus. Both of them had to sacrifice and lay aside their lives to be with Jesus. Both of them in the upper room had their feet washed by Jesus. They shared the cup and the bread. Both of them hurt Jesus deeply. But what's the difference between them? Well, after betraying the Lord, Judas would fall deeper into darkness, and he would be destroyed. After denying the Lord, Peter would repent and be restored. Both of them hurt Jesus deeply. Both of them were broken. But Peter's the one who repents and is restored. It's a huge blessing for us to know about the love of Jesus. To know this, that though he was betrayed and denied, he loved. And this love is extended to you and me as well. Because Jesus loves you when you fail. Jesus loves you when you fail. Now, we sang songs this morning, I noticed, like, stand up for Jesus, right? We need to stand up for him. Christ is enough for me, right? And I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. These are songs of commitment. I'm going to give my life to him and I'm going to follow him. But the truth of the matter is that you and I, we fail too. In our desire to stand up for him and to follow him, no turning back, from time to time, we fail. Jesus loves Judas and Peter, and Jesus loves failures like you, too, and failures like me. If we would stop and look at our lives honestly this morning, we would see that we too have betrayed Jesus. We have used him to promote ourselves. There have been times when we have followed Jesus out of love for ourselves and not pure, honest love for him. We too have denied Jesus. We have disowned him when it's been convenient for us, when we've been afraid. I know I'm a follower of Jesus and I have given him my life, but for just a few moments, I'm going to set that aside and do what I want. Even though I know that it grieves him, even though I know it troubles him, just for a few moments, I'm going to do what I want and not what he wants. We have the ability to stand in the company of Peter and Judas. We have, and we do. And I only hope and pray that you, like Peter, repent at the feet of Jesus and receive his forgiveness and his restoration. The love of Jesus is real, right? And though we hurt him deeply, he dies for us and cleans us up and receives us as his very own. And we only need to surrender to him to repent of the sin that caused his pain and to be restored by his love. So now, before we come to the table this morning and remember that love of Jesus, who went to the cross to die for all who have sinned against him, all who have hurt him, all who have failed him, let's consider the command of Jesus. This will be on the test, okay? Number 4, Christian love overcomes failure. Christian love overcomes failure. That's what it means to love like Christ loved. That's what Jesus asks us to do. He says, look, love one another as I have loved you. Now, this is hard, okay? Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Don't say it, Jesus, okay? Look, you mean that I need to love like you loved. Is that what you're saying? But Jesus, you don't understand. I've been betrayed. I've been hurt. People have failed me. Remember Judas? But Jesus, you don't understand. I have close friends who were like a brother or sister to me, and they turned against me. They hurt me. They stabbed me in the back. You don't understand, Jesus. Remember Peter? 3 times. And not just Peter. Look at John chapter 16, verse 32. Jesus says, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. And in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. It's not just Judas and Peter. It's every one of the disciples that turns their heel and walks away from Jesus. All of the disciples fell away. After Jesus died, they turned away. It took a resurrection and the Holy Spirit to bring them back. So why should your life be any different? Why should you expect, if your Savior received this type of treatment, why should you expect that you will not be betrayed and denied? We're constantly hurting one another, right? It's the history of mankind. We fail one another over and over and over again. And Jesus says, in this world of hurts and failures and betrayal and denial, love one another as I have loved you. This will be on the test. This is how people can know that you are a disciple of Jesus. This is how people will know that you are a Christian. The ultimate proof of faith in Christ is to love as Jesus loves. That means loving your Judas, loving your Peter. So how is your faith? How are you doing it, loving, when people turn the heel and walk away? How are you doing it, loving, when they pull out the sword and they stab you in the back? How are you doing it, loving, when they betray you with a kiss, when they're hypocrites and they're not at all who you thought they were? When they said that they'll defend you to the death and then they can't even remember your name or the relationship at all. How are you in those moments? True Christian love is this. It's about forgiving those who hurt us. And not just that, it's about loving those who hurt us. Not loving them emotionally, okay? We're not talking about working up some type of feeling toward them, because that's not how it works. No, Jesus uses the word agape for love here. Selfless, unconditional love. The type of love that God has for us even though we've turned against Him. Agape love. Love that loves even when it doesn't feel love. Love that expresses itself in patience and kindness and perseverance and all the other things described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. That kind of love. Now, how will you pass this test? How will we love one another as Jesus has loved you? How will you, when hurt, when broken, when violated, how will you reach out in love? That's what it means to love like Jesus. To counter the pain of betrayal with kindness. To overcome the ache of denial with compassion. To reach deep down into the darkness of your personal suffering and to produce grace. That is Christian love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for a Savior who loved us so much that even while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He was perfect. He was spotless. He had committed no sin. He had come from heaven and the worship of angels to this world where He was spat upon, beaten, and nailed to a cross because He loves us. Well, Heavenly Father, help us to embrace that kind of love, to repent of our sins and to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and to be restored. But help us also, Lord, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, to emulate that love. That the people in our lives that have hurt us will see nothing but love and know that we are your children. Now, Lord, as we prepare to come to the table, remind us of the love of Jesus. As we take the bread and the cup, remind us of His sacrifice, of His surrender, of the love that poured out of Him, in spite of the fact that we have betrayed Him and denied Him. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.